Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Greg Bishop rejoining the Paracast, talking about the aviary, possible government disinformation, what the government knows and doesn't know. Now, if you go back, and this is, by the way, in the archives of MUFON, this long set of interviews between Major Kehoe and Bob Pratt. And what you find there is Kehoe was always convinced, 100% convinced, that there was a silence group within the U.S. government, was handling the UFO secrecy, believed that E.T. was here, and that if you gave them the right reason or enough pressure, they would disclose that. But now we're starting to see with an aviary, we have another group of people with intelligence connections are trying to find out what the government knows about it. It sounds to me like this is really buried under many, many levels.
Yeah, well, I think it is. I think it's such a complicated subject. I think it's a lot more complicated than most people think. It's not aliens coming here from other planets and they're, you know, coming here in ships and all that. If it was that simple, there'd probably be more secrecy because it'd be pretty much a lock on what it is. The fact that it is, you know, I mean, if you read any UFO literature for any amount of time, you realize how incredibly strange it is, how it affects people that are exposed to it, and how unknowable and how indescribable it is for some people, for a lot of people, actually. And so I don't think it's a simple question. I don't think it's a simple solution. And I think the people in the government, at least people that sort of know what's going on with the subject, know that. And what are they going to do? Come out and say, well, it's really strange and we don't really know how to handle it, so that's our only explanation. You can't announce that. You have to announce that you have complete control of something and that you know exactly what it is.
Well, that may be a legitimate reason for secrecy because you don't want to panic the populace. You want people to believe the government is in control. Of course, nowadays we don't believe the government. We don't believe they know anything. We don't believe they're competent. We don't believe anything they say. And I would think that if the Secretary of Defense tomorrow, and it's not going to happen, folks, don't quote me on this, if the Secretary of Defense tomorrow got on television, national TV, and said, we have this UFO phenomenon, things are flying in our skies, we don't know what they are, they'd laugh at him. They'd laugh him off the podium.
Yeah, because he's not saying anything that UFO researchers haven't already said. So it's that old John Keel joke that the U.S. government isn't telling, I mean, UFO researchers aren't telling the U.S. government what they know about UFOs. You know, it's a silly sounding joke, but I think there's some truth there. I think it's unknowable by the vast majority of people who look into it. And it may be unknowable by humans at this point in history because the thing doesn't interact with us in the way that people would expect. There's no give and take. I don't think there's a direct relationship, between whatever this intelligence is and us in the way that we would expect to be interacting with something. It interacts in a
great, that brings
in almost a teasing way, like, I mean, as Chris has written about extensively.
Well, it brings up an interesting question, Greg, from Apocalypto, who's been a longtime poster at the forum. He said, well, first of all, he kind of gives you an interesting compliment here. You clearly have a good sense of humor about the subject of UFOs. Does that help you keep things in perspective? But then he goes on to say, recently, you posted a podcast with the title, Are We Finally Bored with UFOs? So my question is to you, Greg, from Apocalypto, are you bored of it? And if so, what particular aspect of the phenomenon are you tired of?
That thing with – it was an interview with Tim Binal, who's a good friend of mine, and we were talking about the UFO subject. He got tired of all the fighting and the, you know, the hobbyist nature of it and the basically just the, you know, people don't have a sense of humor and two, don't look for a bigger picture. I think that's what we were complaining about. And I think, you know, it's bombast. You put a headline up so people will read it. And if people choose to take it seriously, well, you know, too bad. I wasn't totally serious about that. What we're bored with is what I just said, all the stuff surrounding it. I'm not bored with the phenomenon itself. I think there's still something to be explored there. But exploring it in the way that we've been exploring it, as you know, creatures from another planet coming here in structured craft, that's what we're bored of. I think that idea should be done away with completely.
Oh man!
Not because it's
God,
wrong.
I love hearing you say that.
Not because it's wrong, but because it's not interesting.
Right.
Because we've been saying that for, you know, people have been saying this for 50 years or more, 60 years or more, and it's gotten us nowhere. I mean, we still think that. We still haven't solved the problem. So why not look at it in another way? And it's not a baby with the bathwater. Let's throw it out. I'm using bombast. Stop concentrating on that, and maybe other ideas will come up.
Exactly.
Already. I mean, if you look at the literature, any of the writing like Chris's or Mac Tony's or even years ago, this book I found again, Rebirth of Pan, any of these, John Keel, Jacques Vallée, all these people, Greg Little, you see that there are different ways of looking at the subject. And I think these people in the aviary probably were looking at it in this way and approaching it in this way years before we were.
I have to say this, that even Jim Moseley and myself and Alan Greenfield in the 60s and 70s, we were looking at alternative explanations that were fascinating, lots of incredible possibilities. But what seems to happen in the UFO field is it goes in cycles. So in the 50s and 60s, it was E.T. We started exploring the other avenues. And then in the 80s and 90s, we go back to E.T. again. It's just like going in a revolving circle, and we never get anywhere because we're always starting at the beginning and barely getting to the middle, so there's never an end game. Okay, let's look at the aviary. Okay, did they officially meet? Did they have coffee klatches?
Yes, they met. As far as I know, they had meetings, and they would meet in, like, you know, in hotels. Apparently, they met in San Diego at the El Cortez Hotel or something like that one year. They would get together and exchange information. What have you found out recently? Because there's some things they don't want to, you know, send through the mail or talk on the phone. There was no email then. So they'd get together and say, what have you found out? What's going on? And then also some of them were involved in this counterintelligence project, so they would discuss that as well. The counterintelligence project was run by this guy named Falcon at the time, and he was using Bill Moore, Jamie Chanderay to some extent, as liaisons to the UFO community to find out, one, what they knew and what they were concerned about. What people don't understand is that this guy Falcon was an old CIA guy. He didn't care about UFOs. I don't think that was really an interest of his. What was interesting to him was to find out what UFO researchers knew, and more importantly, who was talking to the UFO researchers, because it's been proven more than once that UFO researchers know a little bit about what's going on with military projects, but may not know that that's what they're doing. They'll spot a weird light or object in the sky somewhere, especially near a military installation, and say, hey, look, a UFO, or the U.S. government's testing UFOs. Well, what do you think in the 1980s what the Russians would want to know? It's like, oh, yeah, they're testing so-and-so that's shaped like this. Oh, yeah, we've heard about that. So that confirms to us they've got this sort of aircraft or weapon or whatever it is. That's what they were concerned about with the UFO community. But, you know, what I haven't emphasized in the past, which I didn't think was important, was that I think that there was still some sort of benefit to dealing with UFO researchers, in that they could find out how much they knew about the UFO subject, what they thought about it, and how close they were to, one, military projects, and two, perhaps even really what the UFO subject was or what UFOs were. Maybe the UFO researchers knew more than the government, and maybe they could get some of that information back. And then on top of that was projects to basically send out disinformation and see who gobbled it up. One of the ways they did was handing UFO disinfo, one, to Bill Moore, who took it, you know, and tried to examine it and see what was going on with it.
We'll get into the disinformation and more after Bill Moore. Coming up with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So what information did they give to Bill Moore? What did he know about the subject? When did he know it? And all that stuff. So what you're talking about here is he receives from his handlers in the aviary information to then deliver to people in the UFO field.
Yes. Specifically, actually, two people. And once again, Grant Cameron reminded me of this by reading some of his posts at his site at Presidential UFO. Lee Graham, who worked for Aerojet, was eagerly taking information from Bill Moore, thinking that Bill Moore was getting this information straight from the government, which he was, but then also not realizing that it was also there was a lot of disinformation in there with it. One, I think the main reason was to find out who was interested. What if he hands this information out and then they see this information in Soviet communiques, they know that they've got somebody that's interested in what's going on at Aerojet. The stuff they handed to Bill Moore, i.e. the MJ-12 papers, the Aquarius document, many, many, many other documents. Bill Moore took all this and tried to figure out if there was any truth to them or not. Most people say, well, Bill Moore just, you know, put them out and said, and knew it was disinformation and knowingly spread this to the UFO community and just wanted to mess with them or didn't care. No, what I think was happening was that he got the disinformation or part disinformation and tried to figure out what was real and what wasn't and explain why he thought so. There's a book called the MJ-12 Documents, if you can find it, where he actually goes through all these documents and says, how much truth is there in here? And surprisingly, he finds probably a little less than half is usable truth. And at this point, he thinks that most of it wasn't.
Well, that's an interesting point of view here. The MJ-12 documents are very, very controversial. You talk to Stanton Friedman, he says they're real, at least the original ones. There are other documents that may be partly or completely fake. You then go to someone like Kevin Randall, he says, no, it's a big fake. So looking back at the beginning, since we broached on that horrible subject of MJ-12, was there really an MJ-12? What do you think?
I think there was an MJ-12, very definitely. And at one point, people are saying, oh, well, then he thinks there's a UFO group and the government's like, no. That's not what I'm saying. At some point early on when I was talking to Bill Moore before I writing Project Beta, or maybe during it, I said, there's never been any proof that MJ-12 existed as a UFO group. At least we know that now in hindsight. So what do you think it was? My idea was it was something that was very heavily buried within the history of the U.S. government, had that designator as MJ-12, but really had nothing to do with UFOs, because if you hang the MJ-12 documents on that MJ-12 designator, you're not going to really find anything. It's so obscure and so secret that you can put any, spin you want on it, and nobody's ever really going to find out what it is. And what some people have said, and I think John Alexander came out with this at some point, said that it had something to do with succession of presidential power in times of national emergency. That's what MJ-12 was. But that was used as something to send, UFO researchers and foreign spies and all that off on a complete tangent for a long time. And I don't think it was to cover up the UFO reality.
Explain this to me, please.
Okay,
because it has to be pretty strange. MJ-12 was not about Roswell or anything else. It was about presidential succession, like in case of an assassination, what?
Yes, exactly. In case of assassination or atomic attack or something like that. But somebody at some point in the early 80s, somewhere in the government, in the intelligence community, figured that if they wanted to hang a bunch of fake information on something that would never really bear any fruit except for what they gave, why not use MJ-12? Because that Cutler-Twining memo, if people know about, refers to a meeting of MJ-12. But it doesn't say what it is. All it says is there's a meeting and that a Robert Cutler can't attend because he's going to be somewhere else or something like that. So that established that there really was an MJ-12. But the only documents that ever said it had anything to do with UFOs was that original Eisenhower briefing document, at least at the time.
And that may have been a fake.
I'm pretty sure it was a fake.
Does Bill Moore think it's a fake?
Yes, he does. He thought that in around 2000 when I was talking to him about it, 2000, 2001, he was pretty sure that it was mostly fake. And people can say that's very convenient because, he'd already fooled everybody. No, I think one, he really wanted to believe it was real. Two, it seemed to make sense to him at the time. But the thing is, through the passage of the years and after he found out more about how things didn't add up, with the benefit of hindsight, he started to think that maybe it was mostly disinformation. And he knew this going into the deal. Falcon told him, I will give you a bunch of UFO information in exchange for your cooperation, but not all of it's going to be accurate or real. And it's your job, if you want to play this game, to figure out what's real and what isn't.
Oh, this gets complicated by every step of the way. On the other hand, I wonder then, with all this possible evidence, I can't think that Stanton Friedman doesn't talk to Bill Moore, or hasn't, why Stanton Friedman maintains to this very day that the original MJ-12 documents were exactly as they were presented.
I think, I don't know Stan personally, really. And I think it's because his original research, he believes that the documents held up. And he hasn't really, in the face of disconfirming evidence and, other people doing a little bit further research and casting doubt on it, I don't think he's changed his opinion because he's so convinced himself so much by his own research that he's gotten tunnel vision about it. I do not know. I mean, I think almost everybody except Stanton Friedman thinks they were fake at this point.
Okay. So all this stuff being given to Bill Moore, and this is where Paul Benowitz gets involved.
Yeah. They were worried about Paul Benowitz, and Paul Benowitz had actually written to the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization about some of his concerns about what he was seeing around his home in Albuquerque. And they knew that Bill Moore was one of the board members of APRO and basically sent out feelers to him to see if he was interested in the form of the Weitzel letter, which we can talk about if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
It was a letter sent to various UFO organizations to get people interested in basically as bait to see if there was anybody in the UFO community interested. And the letter apparently was written by Richard Doty based on an actual incident that had happened where somebody on maneuvers, and I think it was in New Mexico or maybe it was the southeast somewhere, somebody on maneuvers with the Air Force had seen a strange craft either flying by or landed or both. Reported it to his superiors, and there was a report filed. What Doty did was he took that report, changed it to make it sound a little bit more interesting and exciting, and then had that sent out to, MUFON, APRO, Center for UFO Studies, various other groups, to see who would respond to it. What Bill Moore did was he went to the Air Force, found the guy, actually, the guy mentioned in the letter, Weitzel, Craig Weitzel, and asked him if he had sent, asked him about his experience. What Weitzel said was, I didn't send that letter, and besides, that's not what happened.
Oh boy, this is getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what might have really happened here and how this caused a lot of consternation in different places. We have Greg Bishop joining Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com. Sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com. Spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com. Or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The man who predicted the fall of communism is now predicting the fall of capitalism. He's dined with the Rockefellers, hung out with the Clintons, banged heads with the Beltway, and inspired companies, movements, and empires that have brought forth revolutionary change. He sat shoulder to shoulder with figures like George Bush Sr., Steve Forbes, Margaret Thatcher, and Boris Yeltsin, to name but a few. And his volume of work set out his groundbreaking financial newsletter, Strategic Investment, was so far ahead of its time, it helped transform not just the fates and fortunes of thousands of investors, but also the fates and fortunes of entire nations. For the first time in 17 years, he's back once again with his first controversial video presentation. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch him reveal a landmark development, which he believes will set off the most violent economic reversal in history, one that carries the power to bring down the entire capitalist system. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch his controversial video before the powers that be wipe it from the internet. Again, it's www.fallofcapitalism.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Greg Bishop, who has written several fascinating books about UFOs and is studying the antics of the aviary involving UFO researcher Bill Moore. He was one of the co-authors with Charles Berlitz of the original book on the Roswell incident. So a pioneer UFO researcher who brought Roswell to the present day. And now we're talking about a, shall we say, massaged report of a UFO case.
Yeah, maybe I better explain, sort of try to explain in a short way exactly what was going on here. What happened was, I think somebody in the government, namely this Falcon character, or associated with the government, wanted to use the UFO community for counterintelligence operation. So they were trying to find out who might be receptive to such a thing, and also, more importantly, who wouldn't just take everything for granted and just spit it right back out, because almost anybody will do that, especially UFO researchers. If somebody from the government tells them that a secret, they spit it right back out, because they say, well, I'm special, and they're telling me something. So what they wanted to find out was somebody that would not do that, would do the background research and be a little bit circumspect about it. So they sent this fake letter out to see what the reaction was. And Bill Moore's reaction was to call up the Air Force, find this guy that had supposedly sent this letter, and question him about it. And he found out the guy, you know, had had the experience, but he never sent that letter. And the things that were in the letter were, you know, greatly embellished. So he went to the head of APRO, heads of APRO, Jim and Coral Lorenzen, and said, well, this letter's fake. I don't know why they sent it. And that's the end of it. But he was apparently, according to Bill, he was the only one that actually bothered to check into it. So he was on the government's radar at that point. And very soon after that, they approached him and said, would you be interested in helping us if we, in exchange, give you some UFO information from the government? And like I said, they did warn him that it would not all be real and that he would have to figure it out. And he decided to play that game. And that's where all this other stuff, and that's history as we know it.
Dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Well, I guess so. I mean, it's, you ask a lot of people, and in hindsight, they go, I never would have done something like that. I think a lot of people, if they were offered that, it's like, we're going to give you government secrets that nobody else has ever seen. They might not all be true, but, you know, you're going to have access to them and nobody else will. And you can, you know, do what you want with them. In exchange, all you have to do is tell us what UFO people are thinking. and what they're talking about. Because there was no internet or anything then, and Bill was a very respected UFO researcher and knew lots of people. So it was a good way for them to find out what UFO people knew, what they were talking about, and if it had any bearing on defense projects.
Yeah, especially if you're getting paid.
He was not paid as far as I know. I don't know.
Man. No, Samsonites with lots of old, sort of wrinkly $100 yeah. bills.
People watch too many damn movies and read too many stupid spy novels.
I know the feeling, Greg. I've been an unpaid asset for the intelligence community for years, man.
Exactly.
Whether I want to be or not, and I don't, but hey, facts are facts.
Yeah.
My database is available for everybody.
So you think you're helping intelligence? Seriously, Chris?
I have been for 20 years. Are you kidding?
Okay. Just the nature of your work. Has the intelligence community ever called you up and said, Chris, we got a question or two?
I got a visit by a man in beige, the other type of MIB that doesn't get talked about much. But
is that the invisibility guy?
No, actually that wasn't. It was somebody else from the Institute of Social Architecture. I just love that. K Street, think tank or whatever the heck it was.
A lobbyist or something like that?
Well, he tried lobbying me, and I and I said, hey, you didn't walk in the door with a big Samsonite filled with a bunch of old $100 bills. You're not offering me a major record deal for my band or a major publishing deal for my next book. So why are you asking me whether I want to or whether I should question my motivations to get into things that, quote, most people don't have a need to know, unquote? And I said, hey, if you'd walked in with something, maybe I'd have too much fun and have other things to do besides digging into areas that you guys are a little nervous about.
Okay, so
they wanted free work out of you is basically what it is, which is what you're already giving them by publishing your books and doing your...
Yeah. I mean, my data is open for everybody. If the CIA is interested, if, other foreign intelligence UFO group is interested, or whether it's just, your average buff or a group, hey, great. It's there for you. I work my tail off getting it. It's open and available to anybody.
Now, my concern over what was done here... And by the way, listeners, we're going to have more of your questions in a little while. My concern in terms of Paul Benowitz is the fact that they made him practically go crazy because of the things they pulled. Was that because of what Bill Moore did, or did Doty and all the rest get involved?
That's another, I think, people place emphasis in areas where that makes them feel worse or better or whatever. The story with Paul Benowitz and the fact that he did basically end up in a mental institution, his family put him there for his health, was that he first, when he contacted the Air Force and said, I think there's something weird going on here that you ought to know about, he was already well on the way to being out of control of his faculties. Because and this was pointed out to me by I'd reported this in Project Beta, but I never really thought about it. In 1979 or 80, I believe, when Benowitz was seeing these things or first started seeing these things over the Air Force Base, which were probably some sort of secret project.
Right, Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque. He was seeing objects over the Manzano Mountains in the Coyote Canyon area.
Yeah. Strangely moving lighted objects, which were obviously being tested there. But he thought they were UFOs from other planets and that there was some sort of invasion. The thing was, in 1979 or early 80, this woman named Myrna Hansen had some sort of an abduction experience, and she was brought to the attention of Paul Benowitz, actually by Gabe Valdez, of all people, if people know who he is. She was brought to Paul Benowitz's house, and he called Leo Sprinkle, who people may know about, one of very early abduction researchers.
Yeah, Sprinkle, one of the first.
Yeah, was flown to Albuquerque by Paul Benowitz to do some regression hypnosis with this woman to find out what had happened to her. And he said that, they did one session over like a day or so, and he flew back to Wyoming. And then Benowitz asked him to come out a second time, I think about a month later.
By the way, parenthetically, if you check our episode for January 18th, 2009, we featured Dr. Sprinkle. Go ahead.
So when he came back out that second time, not a month later, and before Benowitz had contacted the Air Force, Sprinkle told me, and he would tell you if you asked him, that Benowitz came to the door with a shotgun and a pistol in a holster and said, get in here, the aliens are coming and we don't want them to get to us. This was before he even contacted the Air Force.
So the suggestion I get here is that he was cracking up and would have cracked up if it wasn't for the influence of these people.
Yeah,
he still would have cracked up.
Yeah, he still would have. I'm not saying that the Air Force and the other intelligence agencies are not complicit in it, because they were. They basically encouraged him because it kept him away from secret projects. And also, I guess, people that might have been watching him that were not friendly to the United States. But yeah, basically, they sat by and watched it happen and didn't really care if he went, you know, if he went further around the bend. And that's wrong, and it's reprehensible, and it should be. But the idea that the Air Force and the intelligence community drove Paul Benowitz crazy from being a completely normal, you know, well-balanced person to being dangerous to himself is not the right idea.
Greg, there are rumors that Doty and those guys would go in and rearrange his furniture and stuff.
Don Ecker asked me about that, and I told Don, as far as I remember. And this may be in the book. I can't remember because there's so much in there. Benowitz at first knew this was happening, and it kind of freaked him out. And then later realized, or was told, or something, that the government was doing this. And it was because he thought he was cooperating with the government completely and was involved in some sort of secret program with them.
We'll get into what all this means. We'll get into what this means. We've got to do the break. With Greg Bishop, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8 inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Greg Bishop. Project Beta was the book that you talked about a lot of this stuff. When did that come out, by the way?
2005.
Okay, so today would you do a new edition with more information as a result of what we've got to present?
I believe that, and I believe that Gabe Valdez told me this, which nobody by any stretch of the imagination would think was a U.S. government person. He told me that Benowitz at some point knew that the government was doing this, rearranging his furniture and all that, and that he kind of accepted it as part of his quote unquote spy work.
So he didn't think of that being unusual.
No, not after a while. I mean, there were so many other weird things going on with him that I think that was a very minor thing. The fact that he was sending out signals and getting things back, he said that were from the aliens, and other people have seen this too. They saw the messages coming in, the answers he was getting.
How was he sending these messages?
He had a radio setup that he had built. What people may not realize, he was an electronics whiz. He had an electronics company that still exists. So he built his own radio, you know, listening and sending device, or got something pre-made and adapted it to his own uses, and thought and said he was communicating with some alien race that was giving him some sort of information. And there was intelligent communication between him and whatever this was. What I think it was just somebody from the NSA or something, and I was told this, sitting across the street with a transmitter and just telling him what he wanted to hear.
They were having fun at his expense. Now, I have a question here, too, which I just is implicit in a lot of what you said, and that is things that Benowitz saw may have been government secret weapons. Is a lot of this all about protecting government inventions?
A lot of what?
A lot of all this craziness going on.
That we're talking about on the show? Yeah, I think a lot of it is. People make the mistake that I think, and people that, you know, think along the same lines are saying that UFOs are all caused by the government. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we've got to eliminate these things that are secret projects as not part of the core, you know, phenomena of UFOs. And the more that people know, one, what that is, and two, the disinformation involved around it, the more maybe they can filter out the junk, I hope.
Okay, so the Benowitz story is he was institutionalized.
After about 6 or 7 years of this back and forth with the government and him having, you know, ideas about underground bases and all this, encouraged by the government, actually, his family realized that he was, you know, his health was in danger. So they actually had him put in a mental health facility for about a month, month and a half, something like that. After he came out, he was, you know, kind of still doing it, but it was much diminished from what it was. And at that point, I think that the intelligence community was not really that interested in what he was doing anymore, and that thing had run its course. They basically left him alone, as far as I know.
Okay, what other activities, what other craziness did these intelligence people do with Bill Moore as the focal point?
Well, the one thing that Bill did admit to and told me about, and I think announced in his speech in Vegas in 1989, was that he was told to hand Paul Benowitz a document. What was on the document, which is later referred to as the Aquarius document, was reports of UFO activity around Kirtland Air Force Base, actually including some stuff that Benowitz had supposedly reported to them. What it was an actual teletype sent to the AFOSI and then changed slightly to flatter Benowitz's prejudices. Bill handed this to Paul, and he said that he told him to take it with a grain of salt, and he said that Paul actually never – he did. He actually locked it away and never mentioned it to anybody. You can't find any reference to this document in any of Benowitz's writings or his letters or anything like that, although it probably certainly influenced his thinking.
Boy, craziness.
It's just so murky.
It is.
And the flight up with Grant Edwards up to Dulce, the helicopter flight, and the secret camera film, special film that was delivered to the helicopter in a lead box. Ron Reger had, I think, copies right off the original negatives of the craft, the unidentified craft that actually approached the helicopter on their trip up there. I mean, this... The whole Benowitz case and your book, Project Beta, it opens up this wonderful window of opportunity to look inside the world of counterintelligence with the military and the government. Let's talk about Falcon, though, Greg. You came out recently and announced for the first time the name of Falcon based on your investigative work. Let's talk about this shadowy character.
I will de-emphasize my investigative work on this at the outset here, and I will explain why. What happened, and this is what I talked about in this talk I gave online for the Alternative Universe conference. What I talked about was how I found this out. When I was working on Project Beta, I found out who, most of these aviary people were. Bill Moore confirmed some of those names that we had mentioned earlier, like Putoff, Kit Green, Ron Pandolfi, C.B. Scott Jones. He confirmed that those people were people that he was working with. But he would not reveal to me who the head of the counterintelligence operation was, Falcon. But not for publication in the book, for whatever reason, I don't know. People may have certain ideas about that, I don't know. Anyway, he said that he did the classic intelligence thing with me. He gave me hints and then said if I guessed it, he would tell me I was right. And we can talk about why he did that here too. So what he told me was that the guy used to be in the OSS, the precursor to the CIA, Office of Strategic Services, World War II, and that he had been an expert on Russian intelligence, which makes sense in light of the fact that they were doing a Russian counterintelligence operation. And I think that's all he told me. He also might have told me the guy was Eastern European or had Eastern European ancestry. Okay, so I started off with that. So, I started throwing names out at him, almost willy-nilly. I started with people like, now I'm trying to think of the names that I came up with. Richard Helms, William Colby, Cord Meyer, Miles Copeland, people like that. People who had a, documented history with the CIA and were concerned with Soviet matters, which the CIA was mostly concerned with in the 1950s, 60s, 70s. I threw all these names at him. He kept saying, no, 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 no. Didn't really give me any more hints. So I was going to libraries. I was, looking in old magazines. I was, everywhere. And at this point, I could use the internet. I found a website called namebase.org, which still exists. And they had a feature, which basically a clearinghouse of spy information that's available through open sources, books on the CIA, books on the NSA, et cetera, anything to do with United States intelligence. And they took all that information in these open sources and put it online, like who knew who, when things happened, what projects were going on. And they used to have a thing called proximity search, where you could type in somebody's name. Like I would, like for instance, I would type in what Frank Wisner, who used to be in the CIA and ran a lot of their propaganda stuff. And you put that name in, and a diagram would come up showing you that person's name in the middle, and this huge web of names around it with lots of lines connecting them.
Like a corporate flowchart.
Well, sort of, but it was basically like a big, messy spider web.
Ew. Now, we have about a minute left with this segment, and then we'll continue, but go on.
Okay. It was this big, messy spider web, and all these names would pop up. And, you know, the names I was talking about popped up. So I gave him a few more names, and he finally, I think he was tired after 10 months of me saying, is this guy, is it this guy, is it this guy? And he finally, when nobody was around, when we were out in the middle of nowhere on a hike, he told me the guy's name. And as it turned out, that name was on that list I had. I just hadn't brought it up yet. So when I said that Bill told me I had guessed it, that, you know, I didn't guess it, but it was in the list of names I had of guesses of people that it could have been. And, he confirmed it to me at that time, and I've been trying to confirm it ever since. And I gotten as far as I could gotten, so I finally just announced it.
Exciting. We'll have to learn more about this figure and what he meant and why we should care and all about that stuff. It's almost like you think the revelation of Deep Throat. He was Mark Feld, a former assistant director of the FBI, and we learned that when the guy was hardly in a position to even be aware of anything anymore, really late in his life. We have someone who is not late in his life, really young guy named Greg Bishop. We're exploring the aviary, and we are unmasking the Falcon, who he was. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And you customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonicsin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.